I'm Barry Black, and I want to invite you to go with me to higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The purpose of this program is to take you to the next level of spiritual fitness and spiritual excellence. We want to, program after program, take you to higher ground. Today, we're going to be talking about tearing down walls. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to tear down walls. A wall is a structure that serves to enclose and to divide. And there is too much division in our world. Jesus said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, that in him there is neither Jew nor Gentile, free nor bond, but all are one in Christ Jesus. He came to tear down walls, and inspiring the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, 28, he makes that point. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible talks about tearing down the middle wall. We, as people of faith, need to work to tear down walls. In Acts chapter 8, we read an interesting story about a man named Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says, beginning with verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet." Now, most of you know this wonderful story of one of the first deacons in the church. An angel came to him in Acts 8:26 and said, "I want you to go. There is a man who needs your assistance. I want to use you to tear down walls." And that is exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit brought Philip alongside a chariot. It was a chariot of a man who had some power and prestige. He was from ancient Nubia in southern Egypt. This man was a worker, a prestigious worker in southern Egypt. He worked for Candace, which is actually a title, like Pharaoh was the title for the king. Well, Candace is the title for the queen in Egypt, and he worked for Candace. And this man was reading the Word of God when Philip, inspired by the Holy Spirit, came alongside that chariot and transformed this man's life. And as we look at this story told in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, we learn by the grace of God some practices that will enable us to go to the next level of spiritual excellence by tearing down walls. You see, the last statement that Jesus gave us before going was the Great Commission. He told us to go into all the world and make disciples, tear down the walls, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. If we are going to follow that command, obey that command, we need to, like Philip, be prepared to tear down walls. And we see how it was done. The first practice is we need to receive God's guidance. And one of the best ways of receiving God's guidance is from this sacred book that we're going to be talking about week after week. 119th Psalm, verse 105 states, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." 119th Psalm, verse 99 says, "I have more wisdom than all of my teachers, because I meditate upon your statutes." We must receive God's guidance. I've got very good news for you. God has sent us a perfect guide in His Holy Spirit. And in verse 29 of Acts 8, we see that Philip is guided by the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, verse 13, the Bible says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your Heavenly Father willing to give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God is eager to give His Holy Spirit to you and me. And the Holy Spirit, that marvelous guide, He is ours for the asking. He is the one who led Philip alongside that chariot. I remember I was on a plane. I was seated next to a gentleman, and I felt impressed by God's Spirit to talk to this man. And so I decided to do what Philip did, because in the story, Philip asked the man a question first. He said to the man, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian eunuch was reading out loud. And indeed, that question was what brought the response. How can I understand if someone does not teach me? And that is when Philip began to teach him about Jesus Christ. We, my friends, need to receive that guidance so that we can do the same thing. Initiate encounters with people we meet. And that gentleman that I met on the plane, I was able to talk to and lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's practice number one. Practice number two is obey God promptly and cheerfully. When God commanded Philip to go alongside that chariot, he obeyed promptly and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, "God loves a cheerful giver." He wants a cheerful response to His commands, and that is what Philip gave him. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we read the story of a prophet named Elijah who had a blessing from God withdrawn from him. Elijah had a brook during a famine from which he was able to get water, but the brook dried up. Many times the blessings that God brings to our lives, they dry up. And now Philip has a difficulty. How am I going to get water? But in verse 9, God says to him, "I want you to go to Zarephath, for I have commanded a widow to feed you." Philippians 4:19 says, "God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory." And so here is Philip, here is Elijah having his needs met. The interesting thing is that this woman in Zarephath was of the same race and religion as Jezebel. God went outside of Israel to minister to his prophet. Why? God said, I've commanded a widow to feed you. He found someone outside of Israel who was willing to obey him promptly and cheerfully. In Luke chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah the prophet, but God went to the widow of Zarephath, a woman who, though fixing her last meal for herself and her son, obeyed the sovereign God of heaven promptly and cheerfully. And because of that, some walls went down. This Gentile woman has become a part of the history of our faith. There is a third practice that you need to implement if you're going to tear down walls, and that is to look for seekers. To look for seekers. This Ethiopian eunuch had traveled hundreds of miles to worship in Jerusalem. He was a seeker after truth. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53 out loud, although he did not know what he was reading. He didn't understand what he was reading. He was a seeker, and God used Philip like a heat-seeking missile to find that seeker. There are far more seekers than you realize, people who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and we need to look for them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful. The seekers are there. We need to begin to look for those who are seeking after truth and to pray that God will help us find them. In that way, we will tear down walls. When I was a boy, someone placed an evangelistic handbill in my mother's mailbox. My mother was from South Carolina and had migrated to Baltimore, Maryland. And there she was in her home, and she found in her mailbox a handbill with an evangelistic sermon announced, the day money will be thrown in the streets of Baltimore, Maryland, and nobody will stop to pick it up. My mother said, I am going to go to that evangelistic meeting because I just want to find out when that money is going to be thrown and where it is going to be thrown. I know at least one person who's going to stop and pick it up. Well, she went to the meeting and discovered Jesus Christ at that meeting. It transformed her life. But she was already seeking something, like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, whom Jesus encountered and blessed. Our Lord said in John 4, verse 4, I must needs go by the way of Samaria. He was looking for seekers. And if we're going to tear down walls, we need to be looking for and to be sensitive to seekers. Practice number 4. Is meet people at their level. Here is Philip looking for a seeker. As he looks for the seeker, he finds a man reading the Bible out loud. And he was reading Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But this man did not know the man about whom he was reading. And Philip's question enabled this man to tell him, I don't understand what I'm reading. And how can I understand if someone does not help me? Philip did not begin with some complex theology with this man. He did not begin with soteriology or eschatology. The Bible says Philip started where the man was. He started exactly where that man was. I want to read it to you. The man says in verse 31, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he asks Philip to come up and sit with him. Verse 32 of Acts 8. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preach Jesus to him. We must begin where people are. Philip began where the man was, and using, the Bible says, many other scriptures, taught this man about Jesus. Meet people where they are, but teach them about Jesus. I was in an evangelistic meeting in Jericho, New Jersey, many years ago, and a young man stumbled off the street and laid on the chairs in the back of a tent. He was inebriated. I later learned on LSD and alcohol. One of the deacons said, "Well, let's remove this young man. He's distracting the service." But the evangelist very wisely said, "No, let him sleep it off." And he did through the entire service. Night after night, that young man came, still inebriated, sleeping through the service. It was one of the strangest things I have ever seen. But ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4 says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the human heart. Somehow, through the fog of this young man's inebriation, the Word of God got through. The day came for baptism, and this young man, now sobered up, was baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. He finished his GED diploma and then went off to Oakwood University in Huntsville, Alabama. He finished 4 years of college, and many years later, I had to do a commencement address in a school overseas. And as I was about to speak, the gentleman who had invited me introduced the people who were in charge of the school. And when the headmaster stood up, I said, "He looks mighty familiar," but I wasn't certain. And after the commencement address, we had a little potluck, and I saw the headmaster up close and personal. He was that same young man, now a bit older, who, with a degree in education, was leading a Christian school and helping young people to harmoniously develop their physical, mental, spiritual, and social powers. We met him at his level. It was a level of intoxication and inebriation, but we met him at his level and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. The final practice, if you are going to tear down walls, is to expect conversions. Expect conversions. We need to realize that there is an unstoppable law in God's universe. It is the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, that shall he or she also reap." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "One may plant and another may water, but ladies and gentlemen, it is God who gives the increase, and we must expect conversions." Philip saw that a harvest could take place from one encounter. As he taught this man about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Heart Fixer, the Mind Regulator, the Superintendent of the Resurrection, as he taught this man about the Lord Jesus Christ, something happened in this man's spirit. For God gives the increase. There will be a harvest. They came to some water. This man saw the water. He said, "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" When you begin to tear down walls, you will see a harvest. You will see conversions. God will add to the church, sometimes daily, such as are being saved. And you will find out that the people to whom you are ministering will push you. They will say, "What hinders me? I want to be baptized." I was a Navy chaplain many years ago. And serving on Navy ships, I would often conduct Bible studies night after night when we were underway. I had 40 young men who regularly attended my Bible study. Something very interesting happened. As the Word of God began to make its unstoppable impact, the young men began to say, "What do we need to do to get to know Jesus as our personal Savior? We want to be baptized." I would say to them, "You're not ready yet. I need to teach you more." I continued to teach, and they insisted, "We want to be baptized." I said, "You're not ready yet." It actually reached a point where they threatened me with harm if I didn't baptize them. That is how eager they were to be baptized. Expect conversion. God is going to do, says Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or imagine, according to his power working in and through you. And so, you can tear down walls. All over our society and our world, people are erecting structures that divide. People are erecting structures that enclose. Divine worship, said Martin Luther King Jr. on one occasion, is the most segregated hour of the week. That's a wall that needs to come down. There are socioeconomic walls that need to come down. There are gender walls that need to come down. And God calls you and me to tear down walls. He's calling us to continue his messianic thrust in the world of bringing deliverance to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and setting at liberty those who are bruised. Matthew chapter 25 tells the parable of the judgment. The judge of the universe divides humanity into sheep and goats. He says to one, "I was hungry, but you fed me not. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick, and you didn't visit me. Incarcerated, and you didn't minister to me. A stranger, and you didn't take me in." He says to another group, "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was incarcerated, and you ministered to me. I was a stranger and you took me in. The thing that astounds me about this story is that both groups respond the same way. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you incarcerated? When did we see you sick? When did we see you a stranger? And I thought to myself, certainly if you are feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, you remember that. Why did both say, when did we do this? Even the ones who did. I believe the ones who did and didn't know it were tearing down walls. They were receiving God's guidance and obeying His commands cheerfully, looking for seekers, meeting people at their own level, and converting people. And the gospel of Jesus Christ feeds the hungry. The gospel of Jesus Christ will give you a health that will eradicate sickness. The gospel of Jesus Christ will clothe the naked. The gospel of Jesus Christ will lift men and women to higher ground. And even when we are unaware of what we are doing, one day we will discover that by tearing down walls, we were ministering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior, our hope for years to come.